We said to the extent that a person recognizes Hashem more, to that extent he'll have more imunah, and to that extent he'll have more betochen, knowing that Hashem is guarding him and mashgiaching him, and that everything's for his good, and then he'll have much more betochen. In other words, the more you know Hashem, the more you'll have betochen. And then he went through this incredible, there's a whole Torah here. The different stages of development of a human being, going from being a child who's totally dependent on his mother's side, where he gets his milk from, and then the mother, and then he expands out to his father, and becomes more and more dependent, and he goes to stages of independence, and then he swings that back through different levels of being totally dependent on Hashem. So then we got up to here. So he said, Eilu hayin asaras madregas habetochen. He summarizes it here in the Ma'apel HaNefesh. He says like this. Da'ayinu mitchilas habtachos atinuk v'ad adagas hanavim v'chassidim. The 10 levels, going from being a newborn baby, totally dependent, to reaching the level of Nevuah, he says. So what's the benefit of you needing to know this? What do we need to know these 10 levels for? So he brings down here from Shara Vayir, he said, Okim, al yaday kach yoichel kol echad likvo ba'eze daga hu oimed. Everybody can go and work out where he's holding. He can work out how far his real is from the ideal, from the highest level. He can slowly start climbing the ladder, going from level to level, once he knows where he is and once he knows where he needs to get to. That's like everything, by the way. Everybody's standing on one of these levels. It's quite a daunting task, trying to find out where you are in the picture here. Very, very daunting. Make it a little bit easier of Dessler. Dessler brings it down to 5 levels. And if you want it in English and you want it sort of like spelt out for him, paint by numbers of tats, in his book World Masks, takes it of Dessler and spells it out a little bit. And if you're still confused after that, don't feel bad, because you're not alone. Okay? So it's very hard to pinpoint where you are in this picture. There's 10 the shyness of betochen. You didn't know that, did you? There's 10 the shyness of tefillah, and there's 140 words for snow, apparently, in the Eskimo language.
Yeah.
But us Jews have got 10 words for betochen. It's obviously quite an important sugya. And it's a remes to the 10 levels we've done. I don't know what you'll do with this information, but here it is. Miftach, says Bitchu Bashem Adayad. Mishan is somebody who leans or relies. Tikve is hope. Mechase, Tocheles, Chikui, Smicha, Seve, Masad, Kesef. Some of those will mean. But they, yeah, if you want to go through them, there's a posuk for each one. These are all the different levels, different aspects of betochen, and they're all talking about these different levels. The lowest level is betochen. Miftach is the lowest level of betochen. Alavai, we should get there. Hashem should help us that we should be amongst those that have betochen in him. Those that hand themselves over to Hashem's dinim, we're in the hidden world and in the revealed world. Amen, the Amen, Bezrat Hashem. Hadron Alecha Chavis Alevo V'Shara B'Tochen. The question is, what do we do now?
You didn't say we're finishing today. Would have brought something to...
Finish? You never finish.
No, like the Siyum.
Siyum is not Siyum. You want to make a brocha because we're starting Shara B'Tochen again? You
yes.
Can. Okay. Oh, so there's two choices. Either we do Shara B'Tochen, or we're going to do Shara Bechina. I've mentioned many times here that Shara Bechina is an enormous Pesach and gateway into Betochen as well. Sometimes even easier than Shara Betochen. But the choice is Ba'ilam's. I'm easier either way. I'm happy to stop Shara Betochen again, do some Chazorah, or we do Shara Bechina and we come back and do Shara Betochen afterwards. The first person who says anything wins. Pretty much, you got one vote for Bechina.
Shara Bechina, then Shara Betochen.
Shara Betochen, okay, fine. We did a Shara Bechina. That wasn't too hard, was it? Shara Bechina is my favorite. I love Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina, oh. To be Bechina. To investigate. To. How would you translate Bechina to English? Analyze. Boichen is a beginner, is a test. So what's a test? A test is where you analyze and see where the person's holding. Beginner. Havchin ben yom ha'laila. To see the difference. It practically translates as think. To think. Alright, I'm not prepared for Shara Bechina. If we're going to do Shara Bechina, we're going to have to use the Or Avigdor with this. Avigdor Miller's whole Torah was based on Shara Bechina, and he has a very incredible pirish on Chosov Shara Bechina. We'll try and do it together with him. The Maisa Shara Bechina comes before Shara Betochen. After Shara Bechina, you have Shara Boyle Silokim, and then you have Shara Betochen. Let's start and see where we go. Amar Amachaber. Hol ba'anu b'shara rishon shel ha-seifes da'acha chakira shel yichud elokim b'leiv sholem. In Shara Yichud we dealt with understanding through chakira the yichud of elokim. V'hoel v'yizboirinus b'chochma aniris b'bru'a b'iris barachia derech ha-kru'a b'yoysa elokochus mitziyosei. And since meditating on the wisdom of Hashem that one sees in the creation itself, that's the closest path we have to prove Hashem's existence. And the safest path, to know Hashem's true oneness. Therefore, we have to bring Shara Bechina straight off to Shara Yichud. He always justifies, by the way, and explains why one Shah comes after the next and what the next one's going to lead into. The structure here is very, very exact. So he always, at the beginning of a Shah, explains why the Shah is coming now. In order to juxtapose each gate with the one that's similar to it. After we learn one subject, to bring all the subjects that are relevant to that. In order that we shall recognize what's the purpose of doing this, in order that we should recognize our obligations to toil by avodas hakel yisporach, asher lamanam borei sonim. That's why he created us, was to serve him. So the purpose of all this is to bring us to a recognition and an understanding of the obligations we have to serve Hashem. Kamo sha'al mashalom ha-melech ha-chochem ve'lakim osu shi'yira melofonov. That we have to have yira in front of him. That we'll serve Hashem the yira. Hashem created us le'mataras, says in the Pisraelev, avoidus Hashem, that's why we're here. But first you need some hagdomas before you come to recognize the chiv you have. The goodness that Hashem Yisborach bestows on his creatures, l'merot shem kolelis es kulam, despite the fact that they include everything, everyone, Hashem is toiv lakol. Because those reiv bin Adam haim ki ivrim milahaki reisod. Most people are like blind men walking around, they don't recognize this. Umilahovin is gredel erchon, ve'enu manyen b'muhusam, b'glas sholosh sibos. Most people don't spend any time trying to understand and trying to delve into the goodness that Hashem does for us for three reasons. three main reasons why we don't take time out and we don't recognize the enormous good that Hashem does for us. Achasimus he his askusam harabba binyano ilam azev tanugo. The first one is because we're too busy running around trying to enjoy this world. And chasing after the lusts that we have to achieve things and attain things that you'll never attain ever. And therefore they don't take time to meditate on the goodness that Hashem does for them. Because their hearts are fired up chasing after the strong desires they have to fulfill their taibas and the sapek es shifosom, and to fulfill their yearnings. As a person climbs up the ladder of achieving more and more of olam hazeh, he never gets satisfied. As it gets to business class, he wants first class, he wants first class, he wants his own jet, he has his own jet, he wants his own elanka. He never ever get enough. He always wants more. And he's always trying to get the level above him. The incredible chesed that Hashem does for us and the matonis that he gives us looks very small in this person's eyes. What they start noticing is that all the good that other people have, they feel was taken away from them. And the good that Hashem does for them looks bad in their eyes. They don't understand the works Hashem. That Hashem is giving them enormous goodness with these presents. The as a result of his gaiva, he doesn't look to see where Hashem is being made of him. And all his thoughts are not on focusing on the matnas elokim that he gets. And he doesn't recognize that he has, only what he has from Hashem is what's given the ability to do whatever he does. And therefore he doesn't search for Hashem. So that's the first problem we're going to have to deal with if we want to get to understanding anything in the Bria, is we're going to have to see how much time and effort and energy we're spending running after an empty dream. The second reason why people don't recognize the enormous chokhmah and goodness that Hashem does for them. A person comes into this world, what does he look like? He's a behemoth. He's a sus. Cotton ain't lo das, same as a behemoth ain't lo das. He's an idiot. He has none of the kalim he needs in order to do anything that a Jew is going to have to do in this world. The Kliyaka puts out very beautifully. Esav, when he's born, has everything he needs in this world. That's his name. Esav is Lashon Osui. Complete. He was hairy. Hairy is a symbol, Kliyaka says, of shlemus, of completeness in the physical world. As Esav has his five senses and taiva, and that's all Esav needs in order to fulfill his tafkid in this world. He's just a bit small now, so he has to get bigger. He has to become bigger and bigger in his taivas and his five senses. But that's all he's ever going to need in this world. And he's going to peak around about 30, and then afterwards it's all downhill. Yaakov comes into this world with nothing that he needs in order to fulfill his purpose in this world. He starts getting some of it when he's bar mitzvah, more of it when he's 20, and he starts growing and growing. Abim Labino, Shirim Lazikna. And he goes through and builds, and hopefully the most elevated deeds that he'll do in his life will be just before he dies. The greatest achievements he'll have, hopefully, will be just before he dies, because he's growing and growing. So that's what he's telling you here. One of the problems we have is we come into this world with like a behemoth. Commercial Kosu. The Ayir Pera Adam Yulod. Adam is a wilde chai when he's born. And that which we grow and develop as a result of the enormous goodness, and massive thing Hashem does for us. V'nei mushar shim bayim. Achinine etzlam regilus v'yedois. We take them for granted. You land it in this world, you can see as you grow, you see it, you can walk and you can talk and you can breathe and you can think and you can... Of course it has to be that way. Kiloim chelek bilti nivrat me'etzem muso. It's like, that's who I am, what do you mean? Of course I can see, what's the big deal? When couldn't I see? So I would have to thank somebody for that. That was always like that. There's no separation between that and me. And he thinks he'll never, I'll always have this. Well, someone's going to take it away, I'm always going to have this. And now he starts growing up and his bina and his seichel starts expanding. He stays in that default position of being muda. That's what I have. When did I ever not have it? 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds don't have appreciation. They don't have a chorus of toiv. So by the time he gets to 15 or 20 or 30, he stays in that child mode of magili. Of course I have it. So he never takes time out to understand it and recognize the goodness that's tomin in it. They never pay attention to the fact that you actually thank Hashem for all this goodness you have. There's two things they don't understand. They don't understand the value of the gift, and they don't understand the value of who's giving these gifts. You have eyes. Your eyes are an unbelievable gift. You can go mad just thinking about it. And then think about who made those eyes and gave them to you. Whoever takes time out to bother with it. And then actually go and enjoy them. It's like asking a lot for people that are... We haven't grown up that much. There brings a lovely marshal here. Famous marshal. Ba'inim sholim b'zele tinot. She'is chesed achad motzo yisab midbar. This child was abandoned in the desert. You know, the famous Tarzan story, whatever. You know, the monkeys found this kid abandoned. They brought him up and raised him. So anyway, this story, this kid got lost in the desert. And somebody came along and found him, a little baby. He took him home and he raised him and he fed him and he gave him clothes. He's not in the Suffolk law. It's called Mashutoid law. He gave him everything that he needs, like a father does for a son. When he got older, he realized the goodness that this man had done for him. This ish chesed heard about somebody that had been caught by his enemies and put in jail. And he's being tortured and deprived, and he's having a terrible time with these enemies of his. He took enormous mercy on this prisoner. And he went and he spoke to the captives, the capturers. And they were mevatel on the money that he owed him and whatever, and they freed him. And he brought him into his house and he only gave him a portion of the good that he did for the little baby that he raised and brought up. This guy that the freed from prison had much more on chorus of toiv and recognition for what this man had done for him, even though he got a small portion of the chesed that was done for the kid. And he thanked him and praised him much more than the child. He went from being totally deprived to receiving all the good when he had an advanced intellect and he could recognize the goodness that was being done for him. He understood very well what this man had done for him, the enormous chesed and goodness he done for him. Even after the child grew up and his seichel expanded, he still couldn't understand and grasp all the good that this man had done for him. Because he was rogel in them. He always had them. He never noticed anything different. Always lived in this house. He came home, there was always food, there was always clothes, there was always heating, cooling. Lo yachase klum. Ulamot she'af b'seichel einam esupak she'chesed v'atoiv she'oysa se adam imatina kumaki for boilet yoysa ushatina chayv lo'idus ushabeich alei tomid yoysa. Even though every Baal Seichel understands that this child has to thank the Ish Chesed much, much more and much longer than the other person, the child himself doesn't stand in his chayv, he doesn't recognize his obligations, because he had them all the time. He takes them as like, well, they're always there, they're always going to be there, and why shouldn't I, what's the big deal? And I got used to Ephraim. I don't know what he's trying to bring from the pasuk, but whatever that is, pasuk in Yeshaya. Don't know who Ephraim is. He took him on his shoulders, and he didn't know that he was the one that was healing him. Somehow when you get things and they're just always part of it, you take them for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt, or many, many reasons we've seen in our own lives why that happens. So that's the second reason why people don't come to recognize the good that Hashem's doing for them, and that doesn't translate into some sort of payback that I owe. Shibud. Vasiba Shlishi is here, and this is a very difficult one. It's a very, very hard one. Don't estimate the power of this in the kids that we have. The third reason is because there's things in the world that don't look good. There's bad things that happen to us. The losses that happen, the blows to our bodies, to our money, it's horrible. I'm about. They don't realize that these so-called bad things that are happening to us are actually good for us. They mean to an end. They bring more goodness in this world, or they're testing us so we can have a better olam haba. Or matala nishem ala v'noisem b'olam hazeh. They're coming to punish us for the avarice we did in this world. K'day shelo yan shalem b'olam haba. So we don't have punishment in olam haba. It's hard to tell to an 11-year-old, by the way. And an 11-year-old who comes to you angry, and no good telling him, oh, well, you know, you're getting punished for the sins you did. That just makes it worse. And to try and explain to him that it's good for him, because in Olam Haba, lo ichpat lo Olam Haba, rotze tofi achshav, no, he's not thinking about Olam Haba. A lot of bochrim, this is an enormous, enormous nisoyim. One of the biggest problems facing this generation is the so-called bad things that happen to kids, and they don't need a lot of it to happen. One punch that they shouldn't have got or whatever can send them on a spiral, yeah. Very, very, very not poshut. And there's very little you can explain to a child. An adult, he understands, he doesn't understand everything. He understands that, you know, there's an investment thing in the world. You know, there's things that sometimes you have to pay for now and you only get the benefits later. With kids, it's not so simple, and it's very hard to get them out of this pain if they're there. I can give a shiur to adults on how you're supposed to love the person who invented Auschwitz. That I'm happy to do. You have a chiv to love the person who built Auschwitz. Hashem was the guy that put Auschwitz together. And you have a chiv to love him. How do you do that? I'll happily give that shiur to adults. Or I'll get somebody who was there to give that shiur to adults. Somebody who was there and can love Hashem, that's even better. I wasn't there, I don't think I love Hashem, so it's hard for me to give the shiur. But it's actually easy to give the shiur. The shiur is easy to give. To actually do it's another story. But I'll bring you somebody that I know that was there and loves Hashem. Yeah? But try and explain that to a kid. Wow, Hashem killed 6 million Jews and now you want me to love him now? I've had kids throw that at me. And not so easy to answer that question. That's not his real question, by the way. The Kuntz has to understand he's not worried about the Holocaust. He just knows that's a Jewish question. You know, that's an excuse for anything. You know, where was God in the Holocaust? It's not a question, it's an answer. I'm out of here. You know, God's either bad or there's no God. I don't have anything to do with him. That's the famous Jewish question, where was God in the Holocaust? That's not what he's asking. This kid has another pain that's bothering him that is coming out in the form of where was God in the Holocaust. Something else is bothering him. And you have to find out what that is. It's not so simple. Not so simple. Speak to 18 and 19-year-olds that are off the derech. you'll find out that somewhere along the line, when they were younger, something happened. Go find out what that is. I'm not saying everyone, but the vast majority. I'm glad I'm not a cheder rebbe. Anyway, that's the problem we have. That all these bad things happening to us challenge us. They challenge us very hard to get in touch and love Hashem. When we see in our own personal lives and in the greater world, we see so much sorrow and suffering and problems, whatever. The ma'od kasher to get warm and cuddly with the God that's putting all that together, or at least letting it happen. And that's one of the things that stands in our way. All this that Hashem is doing is all good. you have to be able to grasp that. And everything that Hashem's goes is done b'tzedek, and that His chokhmah determines is necessary. And if we don't recognize and delve and understand the tzedek of Hashem in this, therefore they don't praise Hashem when Hashem does reveal to them His chesed. The consequence of this is eventually become a koifer in the toiv that Hashem does for us. You first of all koifer in the good, and then you become koifer in who was doing the good for you. And that we've seen plenty of. This foolishness brings people to think that they're cleverer than Hashem. If you could change anything in the world, you would, right? Many things we would change if we had the opportunity to. Also, you're cleverer than Hashem. If he wanted to change it, he could. If he thought it was better, he would have changed it. Why are you going to write a different script? But every one of us, if you're half honest with yourself, would know there are plenty of things you'd want to change. Well, so we think we know better than Hashem. And they don't want to recognize that they themselves brought them to this matzah. All right, let's stop there. Frightening story. The Motche Lederman, the Lederman Shul, going out of Tzadik. 8 years after he was left, he came to the stipler in a dream. The stipler sent for a certain Avreich that was living in Yerushalayim to come and see him. When Avreich came to the stipler, he said, "Would you ever have a machlokes or an argument or a fight with Reb Motche Lederman?" He thought. He was a kid once, he was sitting in the base midrash learning in Lederman's, where there were a whole bunch of kids making a noise, and Reb Lederman got upset with them, and he came to shout to them. They all ran away, and he carried on learning, so Reb Lederman thought it was him, and he threw him out the shul. But that's not a machlokes argument, whatever. He said, "I'm not." He said, "Are you moichelim?" He said, "Of course I'm moichelim. What are you talking about?" He said, "Reb Lederman just came to me in a dream. He's been 8 years going through dinim and shemaim, and he's gone through them all. It tells you what a tzaddik he was, yeah? But he can't get into Gan Eden because of the hakpara they have in shemaim, because he shouted at a child once. Are you glad you're not a cheder rebbe?" Can you imagine a story like that?